Okay, let's unpack this. The whole landscape around cannabis use, it's just fundamentally shifted, hasn't it? I
Absolutely.
mean, you see legalization spreading, both medical and recreational, across the globe. And that's really changed how people, perceive it,
For sure. It's much more mainstream.
which naturally leads to more people using it. And what's really interesting, I think, is that the users today and how they use it, well, it looks pretty different from just 10 years back.
Yeah, especially with the potency. The THC levels in products now are often much higher.
Right. So that brings us to our mission for this deep dive. We're going to get into a really significant recent systematic review and meta-analysis, and it tackles this critical question. What are the potential cardiovascular risks tied to using cannabis? What makes this study stand out, apparently, is its focus on real-world data, trying to give us an accurate picture of what's happening now outside of controlled labs.
Exactly. And the main thing we're focusing on based on this study is something called S major adverse cardiovascular events.
Right.
Yeah. And just to be clear for everyone listening, that's kind of an umbrella term. It includes really serious outcomes, things like death from cardiovascular causes, non-fatal acute coronary syndrome that includes heart attacks, or MI, and also non-fatal stroke.
Okay, so heart attack, stroke, cardiovascular death, serious stuff.
Very serious. And they're grouped together because they share, similar underlying biological issues, similar pathophysiology. So studying them together makes a lot of sense for understanding the broader impact.
Got it. That's a really helpful baseline. Okay, so let's get into the study itself. How rigorous was it? What was the scope?
Well, it was a systematic review and meta-analysis looking specifically at pharmacoepidemiological studies.
Which means studies looking at drug effects in large populations.
Yeah, how cannabis use affects health outcomes out in the real world. They searched for research published between January 2016 and January 2023.
Okay.
And they started with over 3,000 possibilities, but really narrowed it down.
Wow.
Yeah, they selected 24 articles in the end. But those 24 articles, they covered a massive number of patients, over 432 million.
432 million.
Million, yes.
That's staggering. That's more than the population of the U.S. This is genuinely population-level data we're talking about.
It really is. And design-wise, most were cross-sectional, 17 of them, plus six cohort studies and one case control.
Okay.
And what the authors really emphasize is that this is basically the first meta-analysis trying to connect cannabis use in ANGSI using purely this kind of observational, real-world data, but still applying, top-tier methodological standards.
So it reflects what's actually happening out there.
That's the goal. It gives us insights into the risks associated with how people actually use cannabis day-to-day, which might be different from, say, a controlled trial setting.
Okay, so the methodology sounds robust. The scale is huge. Let's get to the results. What did this massive study actually find? What are the key numbers, the risks?
All right, the headline findings. They use risk ratios, RRs, comparing users to non-users. For acute coronary syndrome, ACS, the RR was 1.29.
So a 29% increased risk for cannabis users.
Correct. For stroke, the RR was 1.2.
A 20% increase there.
Yep. And then for cardiovascular death, the RR was 2.2.
2.10, that's more than double the risk, 110% increase.
More than double, yes. Those are definitely numbers that grab your attention.
These certainly do.
But it's important to add this nuance. While those individual risks were clear, they actually didn't find a statistically significant link for the combined outcome of ACS and stroke together. That RR was just 1.04.
Huh. That is interesting. So, significant risk for heart attack alone, significant risk for stroke alone, significant risk for death, but not for heart attack and stroke combined.
Right.
Why do you think that is? What does that tell us?
That's a great question, and it really highlights the complexity. It suggests, that cannabis use doesn't just broadly increase risk across all these events in the exact same way.
Okay.
It potentially points to maybe different mechanisms or vulnerabilities being more prominent for stroke versus ACS. It's not a uniform impact.
Yep.
And importantly, they did a sensitivity analysis, looking only at the cohort studies, which are generally seen as providing stronger evidence than cross-sectional. And even then, the results for the individual risks held up, with a combined RR around 1.32 for those. So that reinforces the findings for ACS and stroke individually.
Okay, that distinction is really key then. Let's dig a bit deeper into those specific outcomes, because it sounds like there were other nuances too. What about stroke? You mentioned the overall RR was 1.20, but the original script said results were divergent.
They were, yeah, that's true. Some studies included in the meta-analysis actually found no significant link. There was a Swedish cohort, a U.S. case control study, the cardiac cohort.
Yeah.
They didn't show a clear association.
Why might that be?
Well, potentially because of how exposure was measured. Maybe it was just recorded once at the start, or they focused on just, you know, trying cannabis once in a lifetime, which doesn't capture regular use.
Right. That wouldn't tell you much about ongoing risk.
Exactly. But on the other hand, several other large cohort studies did find a higher stroke risk in cannabis users. And this was consistent even after they adjusted for other cardiovascular risk factors, like smoking.
Okay.
And what was particularly striking was a noticeable increase in the 25 to 34-year-old age group.
Younger adults, interesting.
Yes. And also the elevated risk for stroke, or TIA, transient ischemic attack, or mini stroke, seems specific to people who used cannabis at least weekly. Frequency matters.
Okay, so weekly use and younger age seem to be flags for stroke risk, even if some studies didn't show it overall. What about ACS and heart attacks, MI?
Similar story in some ways. Five studies looked specifically at MI, and they found an independent link with cannabis use. And that was after accounting for things like tobacco, cocaine, and amphetamine use.
So even ruling those out, the cannabis link remained.
It did. Although there was one huge study, millions of people, where the association, while statistically significant, was described as barely significant. The odds ratio was just 1.03.
Right. You mentioned that. So if it's statistically significant, but only just, how much does that matter in the real world, clinically?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Statistical significance in a massive data set doesn't always equal major clinical impact for any one individual. An ORR of 1.03 is a very small increase in relative odds. But again, what did emerge consistently was that higher odds of acute MI were seen in people using cannabis more than once a week.
Frequency again.
Frequency seems key. And there was this interesting finding from a French study. Cannabis predicted MI, but cocaine and opioids didn't in their cohort. The researchers thought maybe it was just because fewer people use cocaine or opioids in France, so the cannabis effects stood out more.
Context matters.
Definitely. And again, like with stroke, they saw a higher risk for MI specifically in the younger group, 18 to 36 years old.
Okay, younger adults popping up again. Now, what about cardiovascular mortality? The risk ratio there was the highest, over double.
Yes. The meta-analysis found cannabis use significantly increased both all-cause death and cardiovascular death, specifically in a group of patients who'd already had an MI before they turned 50.
Wow, okay. So post-MI, cannabis use seems particularly risky for younger patients.
That's what this cohort suggests. And adding another layer, a separate analysis from 2024 using UK Biobank data, so different study but relevant context, highlighted a potential sex difference for cardiovascular mortality linked to heavy cannabis use.
A sex difference? How so?
It suggested a significantly higher risk for women compared to men.
Really? That's fascinating. Any idea why?
Not definitively from that study, but it strongly suggests the impact isn't uniform. Hormonal factors, perhaps, mm-hmm. different patterns of use.
Yeah.
It really underscores that we need to look at these risks across different demographics. The effect might not be the same for everyone.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've talked about what the risks are and who seems most affected, weekly users, younger adult, potentially women, more for mortality. Let's briefly touch on the why, the biological mechanisms. The original script mentioned reversible vasospasm.
Yeah, that's one of the main hypotheses, though it's described as not entirely established. It's basically a sudden narrowing of blood vessels that can then relax again.
Okay.
Experimental studies are a bit complex here. They show that cannabinoids can cause vasorelaxation widening of blood vessels, which sounds good.
Right.
But they can also cause vasoconstriction narrowing, especially in conditions like high blood pressure or when high doses are used.
So it's not straightforward.
Not at all. And it likely depends on the specific cannabinoid. THC, the main psychoactive part, is generally linked to things that stress the heart. Faster heart rate, tachycardia, increased oxygen demand, and that vasoconstriction, partly through stimulating the sympathetic nervous system.
Okay, that sounds like a plausible pathway to problems.
It does. Whereas CBD, another major cannabinoid, is often linked more to anti-inflammatory effects, which could potentially be protective in some ways. So you have this kind of push-pull depending on the specific compounds, the dose, the person's underlying health.
Right, complex picture. Now, we absolutely have to talk about the limitations of this meta-analysis. No study is perfect. What were the main caveats here?
Definitely important. A major one was that how much cannabis people used the dose, the frequency, how long they'd used it, was often poorly reported in the original studies they included.
Ah, so it was hard to assess a dose-response relationship.
Exactly. That makes it tough. Also, a really significant chunk of the studies, over 83%, were rated as having a moderate to high risk of bias.
High risk of bias? Why?
Mostly due to things like uncontrolled confounding factors, other lifestyle things that might affect heart health, and are also linked to cannabis use and potential myth classification of exposure, meaning maybe people weren't accurately categorized as users or non-users.
Okay, those are pretty significant limitations.
They are. And another big one. Most of the studies, 19 out of the 24, were cross-sectional.
Which, as you said, are like a snapshot in time. They can show an association, but they really struggle to prove cause and effect.
Precisely. They give you correlations, but establishing that cannabis caused the MEC is very difficult with that design. There was also a slight risk that some of the same patients might have been included in multiple studies if the data sources overlapped.
So while this gives us valuable real-world insights, we have to take these limitations seriously when interpreting the findings.
Absolutely. They really highlight where we need more research, especially, you know, good observational studies like prospective cohorts that do a much better job of accurately measuring cannabis exposure over time, the dose, frequency, duration, type of product. That's key.
Okay. So taking everything into account, the large scale, the real world focus, the specific risks found, but also the limitations. What's the bottom line here? What does this all mean for you listening?
Well, the overarching conclusion from the researchers looking at this huge amount of real world data is pretty clear. They found positive associations between cannabis use and these major adverse cardiovascular events, MAC.
Consistent with previous work, right?
Yes, it adds significant weight to the existing evidence.
So the practical takeaway?
I think the main implication is that these findings should really boost general awareness among the public, patients, doctors, that cannabis does have the potential to cause cardiovascular harm. It's not benign for heart health.
Right.
And it really calls for doctors to be systematically asking about cannabis use, especially when patients come in with symptoms suggesting serious cardiovascular problems. Mm. It needs to be part of the conversation.
So the core message seems to be the evidence is growing and this big review reinforces it. There appears to be a real measurable link between cannabis use and serious heart and blood vessel problems, something we all need to be aware of, especially as use becomes more common.
Definitely. And it raises that crucial forward-looking question. You know, as cannabis keeps evolving globally with higher potency products, different ways of using it, changing user demographics, how is that going to further shape these cardiovascular risks?
Yeah, what happens next?
Exactly. What specific research do we need now to really understand the long-term cumulative effects for all sorts of different people? That's where we need to go.
Absolutely. A lot to think about. We really encourage you to consider these insights in your own life and, you know, maybe have a conversation with your doctor about your personal situation and any potential risks.